Hello, my name is Kit Crowther and I'm going to be talking about three Welsh goddesses today, all connected with Beltane. I've taken their names and a brief story from them from the Mabinogi and the Welsh tales from the Dark Ages or myth. The first one is about Olwen, whose name means golden wheel, and she may have been a sun goddess. She was certainly a goddess of the springtime, and it said wherever her feet took her, white flowers or trefoil would grow. She was beautiful. The colour white is associated with her, which marks her as a goddess, although there's little known about her. She was the daughter of a giant called Jaspard Arden Benkow, who was prophesied to doom of death should his daughter marry. So, of course, he didn't want her to do so, and he made it very difficult for any of her suitors. He offered a list of at least 20 impossible tasks with an impossible timescale to achieve them to the knight who set his mind to have her and her dowry, of course. And his castle or fort was littered with the dead who had tried before, until a man called Cil Huch came along and, with the aid of King Arthur, set about the aim of getting her, getting Olwen. And he achieved these impossible tasks, and her father, the giant, died, and Olwen married him. So this is a goddess who makes flowers, at the time when man captured the sun. But what she thought of him is unwritten. And moving to Blydeuwedd, seemingly a lover goddess, conceived of flowers, of the oak, the broom and meadowsweet, and they signify strength, healing and renewal. What a goddess she was. Made of the magic of Math and Gwydion, for Liflor Giffes as a wife, for he was in himself tricked into being son of Arionrod. She gifted him no name, no knightly arms, and fated him never to have a human life, wife rather, for it was Math and Gwydion who were behind him as well. But Blydeuwedd fell in love, despite being married to Liflor Giffes. And she fell in love and had an affair with Grönnu Peibr, and she took him for her lover. And for this, she was punished into being hated by all the birds. Birds being really significant to the story, birds being Rhiannon's animals, who she could use to sing people to sleep. So Blydeuwedd was hated by the birds, turned into a white owl, again white signifying goddess. And off she went to live her life in the forest. Interestingly, nobody blamed themselves for this. Even her lover blamed Blydeuwedd for leading him astray, for faithlessness. So she was discarded, a bit like Eve. And what she thought of that is unwritten because she was owl. So this is a goddess who was made of flowers when man discarded the strength, healing and renewal of the land. So here we have two goddesses of myth who were married off with no sign that they chose this. Then along comes Rhiannon on her white horse. Rhiannon, whose name may originate from Regan, meaning queen, and may be associated with Epona, the horse goddess of Gaul. Rhiannon stands out as mother goddess, also associated with Beltane, Beltane, a time of Bel. What is interesting is that Rhiannon rides into this story, fully fledged, adult, beautiful, sassy, humorous. She connects the land of the underworld, the Fae, to the land of man. Puil of Duved has already spent time in the underworld as a result of insulting its king by accident. He had proven himself a gentleman by not accepting the invitation to sleep with the king's wife, and it may be Rhiannon saw in him a nobleman who she could accept, rather than the man she had been betrothed to against her will, a man named Gawal. Puil was riding in an auspicious place to find himself adventure when he and his men walked out onto the land and deliberately sat on an ancient mound. Mounds ever known to be a portal to the other world of fae and fate. Here was an opportunity. And along she came, her white horse leisurely stepping along the path. Who could not notice her with her golden hair, her golden clothes? She must have shone like the sun. Puil sent a man to ask her name, but he could not catch up, not even when he went to find a horse to meet her. As is often the tale in legend, this is the story told in threes. This indicates an important message for us. Day two, another knight tries to approach Rhiannon, who again is riding past the mound. This time, Puil has chosen to sit there to see if he can see Rhiannon again. Again, although her horse seemingly ambles along, not even the fastest horse can catch up with her. Day three, Puil himself decides he will catch her. Same thing happens, and he finds his prized horse lathering and tiring in the effort to catch up, even though her horse seems to be trotting along slowly. He finally calls out to her, and that is enough for her to stop and tease him about it being about time. It would have been kinder for his horse if he'd said something earlier. Sometime later, at their wedding feast, but before marrying, a man arrives, and Puil, sitting there as a man about to be married to such a beauty, he's in a generous and gifting mood, and he inadvertently promises him anything he wants. Rhiannon is not pleased. She calls him foolish, for this is the aforementioned betrothed, Gawal, and it takes Rhiannon's wisdom and wile not to forget another year of their life to get out of that trick. Rhiannon and Puil eventually repeat their wedding feast and this time go up to the bedroom, which is, it would appear, all that is needed to cement the deal. And this is mirrored in the English Dark Ages custom, although kings were often seen to marry in church, lest they decide that the marriage wasn't real and try and get out of their deals with maidens who became wives. For what is to become of a maiden who is then a wife? And what is to become of a woman whose husband fabricates evidence or a story to suggest the marriage wasn't a real one, particularly if she is unable to give him a son. 2 years later, and there are no children, but on the intervention of Puil's men, goodness knows what that is, I think this is man's telling the tale here, Rhiannon becomes with child and finally delivers a boy. This newborn disappears in the night, and Rhiannon's maids, who are meant to be watching over him, do not know what to do. Rhiannon is seemingly kind, compassionate, and yet she is from the other world. She is goddess. She is not them. And the maids are not only worried about Rhiannon, but also their king and how he will treat them for not keeping an eye on the baby better. So they come up with a dastardly plot to kill a puppy, of all things, poor puppy, and place the bones and blood at the scene of the crime, wiping Rhiannon's mouth with blood, wiping her clothes, her fingers, and tell her that she has eaten her son. They tell everybody, the king wakes up, everybody knows the news. that Rhiannon is accused of. Elsewhere in the realm, another landowner is having a problem, this time with his foals. Every 1st of May, his foals go missing. And this year, he has taken the decision to keep his broodmare indoors to keep the foal. And yet the foal appears to be being kept away as clawed hands come into the dwelling in order to try and steal it away. In the struggle, the monster retreats and leaves the boy in the place of the foal. So foal and boy grow up together. And the boy is named Gori Walt Eirin. And he grows unnaturally quickly, unnaturally talented. And he too is associated with foals like his mother. And it is worth a mention here that at that time, horses were potent animals associated with power, wealth, and working the land and travel. Meanwhile, Pwyll is very reluctant to set aside Rhiannon as his wife. He has faith in her, but his kingdom does not. And she is given the punishment of sitting by the gate as a horse, offering to carry visitors on her back. However, once the young lad grows old enough, the people raising him recognise him as Pwyll's son, and he is returned to his family. Custom dictates his name will be the first thing his mother says when she sees him, which is Pryderi, or worry, concern, the end of her worry, the end of her concern. The remarkable aspect of this story for us to understand is Rhiannon's ability to understand why people act in certain ways and to forgive them, to have confidence in her own truth and to have such faith and love that her son would reappear, that no resentment or hate grows through her long and seemingly demeaning and debasing treatment. Hate breeds hate and love breeds love seems to be Rhiannon's message. Later, Rhiannon's story, Pwyll has died and Pryderi promises Rhiannon to Manne Wayum. But again, this appears to be with Rhiannon's consent. Rhiannon as mare in French also being mother, mare in French also being sea, has lots of similarities with other women figures throughout history. Compassion, love, forgiveness, at the same time as wit, beauty, intelligence, she is truly a goddess who cuts a large figure in history. Even her name means great queen. And it may be that this trio of goddesses, this trio of days at which poet Pwyll had to capture or connect with her, all connect kings and landowners to the land, choosing the land. By disconnecting with nature, by not staying true to birth-giving mothers, man has strayed from connection with the land. It is therefore by our reconnection that we find our way back to the life-giving force of nature herself. May you find your way back. Blessed be Kit.